Fine. That breaks through. Speaking of all-time greats, what a goal. How good is he?
If you're David Mundy, you can do anything.
Brayshaw. Oh, he goose-stepped beautifully. And a couple. Herky-jerky, shake and bake. Magnificent.
Welcome back to the Flag Mantle podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Sterling, and I'm back again with another episode to bless your feed. Now, if you missed me last week, I really, really apologize because studio time is getting harder and harder to come by in this building, and I have a lot of assignments, which means less time for podcasting, more time for assignments. So, apologies for the absence, but I'm back, especially after a 92-point win. It's always good to get in the studio and chat absolute rubbish. I mean, there's a lot of rubbish to talk about because we beat a premiership favorite by 92 points. How much happier could you really, really be than that? So we're going to be talking about that game. We're going to be talking about some trade stuff as well. And who to root for this weekend if you want to be the ultimate hater and watch Fremantle have the most success as possible. All that coming up very, very shortly.
Let's go!
Yes, so the Fremantle Dockers did defeat the Melbourne Demons in Alice Springs by 92 points. It was an absolute belting, and you love to see it as a Freo fan because we don't get many of these, but it was 7-7-49 to Fremantle's 22-9-141. We scored 22 goals and 9 behinds. What a game for us. Go us! Aren't we just the best? Aren't we just awesome to watch play? Because 22 goals was really, really something else. And it was just an onslaught. I think we had 12 different goal kickers in the game as well. So it wasn't left to just our forwards. Just it was beautifully spread by everyone. And I know the Melbourne Demons are down on form at the moment. And Clayton Oliver has issues. And Petrarca's not playing his best. And they don't really have a forward line. But that doesn't matter, okay? Melbourne are a good team. They should be fighting for a premiership because before we beat them, they were solidly in the eight and no longer because their percentage took a absolute dump. Ours, though, spiked. We're at 121.4, which is second best of the competition as of recording to Sydney. And yeah, it was just, I couldn't have really asked for much more. We smashed them in every major statistical category. We're 444 disposals to 366. We had about 100 more kicks. We actually handballed it less than them, which I think was a huge factor in this game. I know JL's been a high, high handball team, but we just look better when we're moving it with feet. It's just, it looks cleaner, it looks faster, you get more unpressured touches the ball, you can build the ball up probably. It seems like a better balance. 280 kicks to 164 handballs. We also had 68 inside 50s to Melbourne's 37, so it's not like the backline had much to deal with. But when it went in there, we dealt with it better than they dealt with us. 48% efficiency inside 50 to their 45. Smash them at clearance, smash them at contested ball and uncontested ball. Way more marks inside 50, more contested marks. Like, we even had more tackles. It was just one of those games where we just, everything clicked, and whether it was us being really good or the Demons being really bad, I think we'll just take it at the moment. We'll just go, hey, doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's us being good or them being bad. We're sixth on the ladder, 121%. You can't really complain with that. And I thought some of the standouts were obviously the forwards. You had Josh Tracy, Jai Amos, and Luke Jackson. Here's JL talking about that forward trio and Luke Jackson's role as a forward.
So many people say Jackson and Darcy can't work today against the best ruckman in the comp. Any comments on that?
Not really. Because I don't really care what everyone else thinks. And people want to be sensationalists and be the first to say it's not working and this and that. Like, the fact is, last year when they both played and had continuity, it worked. And we haven't had that continuity this year. So as much as everyone thinks you can just, you know, click your fingers and pieces fall into place. So it takes a little bit of time for Luke to find his way down forward and be comfortable playing that role again. It doesn't happen, you know, in 1 week. I think we saw today what our three key forwards can do if they have that continuity. I thought they were all dangerous, and you know, Sean's in his second game back. He's only going to get better as well. But you know, he covered the ground really well. He looks really strong in the ruck, and yeah, so that's your answer.
Now, I'm somewhat of a skepticist when it comes to Sean Darcy and Luke Jackson. I just think we look so much better with Luke Jackson as the primary ruck. We look faster, we look cleaner, we look way more mobile. We've got an extra midfielder at every contest. There's just, I don't think Sean Darcy is capable of what Luke Jackson can do. And I mean, I know you need that big, lumbering ruckman to take down the Gawns and the Grundys and just put some physical presence in a game, but as far as clearance goes, I think I prefer Luke Jackson. So, yeah, it could be something to monitor for the future. I'm really hopeful that Luke Jackson's going to work as a forward, because I think you just take the talent that's in your team. Like, you just play your best guys, even if the positions aren't quite right, or you just play your best players. And I think that's how you win lots of games of football. So, JO, if you're listening, you're definitely not. But if you are, that would be my recommendation. Play Luke Jackson as a forward. But, you know, if Sean Darcy was, you know, banging the door down to leave, I wouldn't stop him. I would not stop him. I would drain all the assets of whatever club he tried to go to. I'd take everything. I'd rob the bank. But I would let him go, ultimately, because I think we'd be fine in that department. But speaking of the trade table, that's what we're going to be talking about next. Let's go!
To a developing story tonight where I can tell you that Fremantle is planning a stunning trade raid on Richmond. Despite being contracted until the end of 2028, the Dockers have launched a bid to recruit Shay Bolton. I understand the 25-year-old West Australian, who is arguably the face of Richmond's rebuild, is weighing up the advance. It comes as the Dockers also pursue Liam Baker. Key to this ambition is Fremantle's draft hand. They have Collingwood and Port Adelaide's first round picks, along with their own. All of this as Bolton returns to the side from a concussion ahead of tomorrow night's clash with Adelaide, alongside Dion Prestia and Tim Taranto. Tony?
Yeah, so good news there. Thank you, Xavier Maguire. Hadn't heard of you until you dropped this story. Very keen on Shay Bolton and, of course, Liam Baker. But apparently, Richmond have come back and be like, no, that's not happening. We're not trading Shay Bolton. But yeah, here it is. Richmond unequivocal regarding Shay Bolton rumor. Richmond has absolutely no intention of trading Shay Bolton. Recent reports suggest that Fremantle is interested in Bolton and planning a stunning trade raid for the talented West Australian. However, Bolton remains contracted till 2028. Yada, 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 yada. And the people at Richmond described it as a rumor. They said, oh yeah, all the other clubs would love Shay Bolton, wouldn't they? And that was the way they tried to play that off. I think there's more in that. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And if Shay Bolton requests a trade out, how are you going to keep him there? If you're going to start this rebuild, you've got to let players who don't want to be there for it go. Because by the time this rebuild's complete, they're not going to be in the best team anymore. Like, you've got to get rid of players to rebuild a team. And unfortunately, Shay Bolton, he's 25 years old. He's in that perfect age bracket for rebuilding clubs. But that's just the way it goes. Richmond, I'm still skeptical on will he request a trade or not. Not sure, because managers do this all the time, get their money up, you know, get the value of the player higher, and they just try and inflate the value of the player, and they do that by doing things like this, by going, hey guys, he wants out, and so the club that has the player has to pay them a boatload more to keep them. Another guy that was mentioned in that video, Liam Baker, is someone that I think a lot of Freo fans are very interested in. He's a utility that the Tigers have been using absolutely everywhere, but recently in the midfield. And I think he'd be a great little halfback, flanker, winger, mid, do-it-all, Mr. Fix-It guy. I look at James Aitch and I think, well, Liam Baker's just a better version of you. And I know that sounds a little bit harsh. That's not to say James Aitch is a bad player by any chance, but Liam Baker is just a little bit extra. He's a bit smaller. He doesn't compete against the medium to tall sizes as well as Aitch, and probably isn't as strong under the ball, but everything else that they do is more or less similar from my perspective anyway. But yeah, I think Liam Baker would be a very handy player. Another guy that's been linked to us is Charlie Cameron. Now, I've only heard this through whispers. I don't know how true this is at all, but apparently he is a little bit upset being at Brisbane, the way they're performing at the moment. I mean, I would be too. 4 wins to start their season after being a kick away from a premiership last year is probably not the place you want to find yourself in. And Charlie Cameron, what, he's 30 now? He's going to be chasing a flag. He hasn't got one yet. He's had a couple of chances, one at Adelaide and one at Brisbane, and missed them both. So if he wants to try and achieve that, maybe with a younger group, maybe with a purple group, a group of guys in WA, I mean, I think he's got family here. So that could be an option. And of course, every Freo fan on Facebook right now is chatting out their ass about Chad Warner, saying that he's coming to Freo. Don't think so. Wouldn't think so. He got put in Crown Hotel by the Fremantle Dockers, but yeah, the likelihood of that is probably very low. I'm sure he's just getting all the free stuff he can whilst he's valuable, you know? And if I were a player, I'd probably do something similar like that too, so. Oh yeah, we can go have a meeting in this hotel if you get me to stay there for a night in my buy round. And yeah, I would do that totally as well. So I understand that from Freo fans and from Chad Warner's perspective. The other forgotten one is Logan McDonald. I don't think we're in the market for Logan McDonald anymore. Our forward line is fit and firing and playing very, very well. So wouldn't think that one would eventuate. So yeah, that's the trade update. We got Shea Bolton is probably the most likely, with Liam Baker, Chad Warner, and Charlie Cameron probably not going to happen. And Logan McDonald, pretty much no chance at all. But let's get in to the next segment, shall we? Let's go! Yes, this is going to be a little hater's guide on who to root for this weekend if you're trying to keep Fremantle as high up in the ladder as possible. We know there's no Freo games, but you've got to support someone. You've got to watch some footy this weekend. And starting out last night, the Richmond Tigers defeated the Adelaide Crows by 8 points, 79-71 at Adelaide Oval. And today we have got the Western Bulldogs hosting the Brisbane Lions at Marvel. Who do you want to go for? Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have some bias towards the Bulldogs. They're quite liked in AFL circles. But if you want to be the best Freo fan that you can be, you're going to be going for the Brisbane Lions tonight at 5:40 Australian Western Standard Time, because the Bulldogs, the closer they are to us, the worse off I think we are. Because, I mean, we play them next week, and if they win this week and then next week, they jump us. So yeah, I would be supporting the Brisbane Lions that game. Then Saturday morning, 11:45 AWST, the Hawthorn Hawks host the GWS Giants at the University of Tasmania Stadium. The odds are really, really close in this game. First of all, I'd like to say gamble responsibly, but the Hawks are $1.96 and the Giants are $1.84. The Giants being on a bit of a slide, and as a Freo fan, you'd hope that continues with a Hawthorn win, because that way we can stay above the Giants even with one game less played. That would be monumental for us. I don't think that's going to be as close as people think it is. I know the Hawks have been really, really good recently, but I just think the Giants are too good for the Hawthorn Hawks, and I just think they get it done. I think that's a business trip for them down to Tasmania. They're used to Canberra. They're used to Western Sydney. They can handle Tasmania. I think they go down there and beat the Hawks. But we hope that doesn't happen. Then at 2:35 Australian Western Standard Time, we've got the West Coast Eagles hosting the North Melbourne Kangaroos at Optus Stadium. The Eagles, heavy, heavy favourites to beat North Melbourne, as they should be, even without Harley Reid. I've spoken to a few Eagles fans in the last couple of days, and they're quite nervous about this game. They think they might lose to North Melbourne. And to them, I say, I think North Melbourne are possibly the worst football team I have ever seen since COVID-era Eagles. You will win this game. If you lose this game, that probably says more about North than it does West Coast. Because, what, this is round 13, and they are 0-12. They have not won a game of football yet. But I think the Eagles get it done. Too much talent, especially in that midfield. No Tim Kelly, no Harley Reid, I understand that. But outside of those guys, I just think they're bigger, they're more experienced, and they've actually put together some good football this year. And if that shines through for 15, 20 minutes, the Kangaroos aren't going to stop them. And then Saturday night, St Kilda are hosting the Gold Coast Suns at Marvel Stadium. $1.90 each, the odds are even. And if you are a Fremantle fan, you want the Saints to win this because the Suns would jump us. And Saints haven't been playing particularly well recently. But the Suns also haven't won a game away from home this year. So that one's going to be a really, really good watch. Ben versus Max King. Who can kick more goals? I've got... who would I say? I probably have my money on Ben at the moment. But yeah, that'll be a really, really good game to watch. I think the Suns get it done, unfortunately. I just think their midfield is so much cleaner than the Saints. They're just pedestrian in there, St. Kilda. Sunday morning, who scheduled first v. third for Sunday morning? I don't understand that. But we've got Sydney and Geelong. And if you're a Fremantle fan, you probably want Sydney to win because the Swans are pretty much untouchable at the top of that ladder. Whereas Geelong, we're not too far behind. We can catch third position. And I think this year is going to be a race to be second best. And if you get second in the AFL, that is quite literally in finals, no lesser advantage than being first. You still get your home first week final. You still get a second home week final, depending on if you win or lose. That is absolutely no different for first or second. So Sydney probably already locked first spot. We've just got to chase second. And in order to do that, we need the Swans to beat the Cats at the SCG on Sunday mid-morning. And then at 5:20 that afternoon, it's going to be a good day for footy. Ah, I see why they've done put all the good games on Sunday. It's public holiday Monday in Melbourne. Of course, because we've got Essendon versus Carlton after that. Carlton, the favourites, they are in fifth, and Essendon, not the favourites, they are in second. I think we'd probably want the Blues to win. We don't really want Essendon running away with second spot. But honestly, that game could go either way, and it probably wouldn't make that much difference for the Fremantle Dockers in the whole scope of the whole season. So just watch that one as a neutral, I reckon, and enjoy it. And the last one, Monday, Collingwood v Melbourne. Odds are split straight down the middle. And once again, no matter who wins, it's not great for Fremantle. We're probably going to be dropping a spot depending on percentage. Oh, yeah, maybe. Oh, no, because we got the draw. Hang on. Let me look at the ladder. Sorry, guys. Yeah, we're going to be dropping regardless. Unless it's a draw here, we're going to be dropping one spot regardless because Collingwood versus Melbourne, both 2 points behind us. One of them's going to win this week, which means one of them jumps us. So, you know, up to you, really. I don't probably going to be supporting Melbourne because I don't like Collingwood and we just flogged the Demons and it'll look better if they won. So, yeah, that's a hater's guide to this week's football, how to cheer for Fremantle without cheering for Fremantle. I'm sorry this has been a bit of a shorter episode, but I have still got heaps and heaps and heaps of stuff to do, like at TAFE. I've got so many assignments, so much stuff going on. But thank you very much for listening. I hope 20 minutes was nice and digestible for you. And if you enjoyed it, let me know on social somewhere. Follow me on Instagram. Yeah, that's it. See ya. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Flag Mantle podcast. If you have made it this far, please leave us a review on whatever streaming site you use to access the Flag Mantle podcast. And don't forget, we've got social media too, over at the Flag Mantle podcast on Instagram and X. So go follow us there, send us a cheeky DM, and you might get a response. We'll see. Thank you for listening once again, and I will see you all next time.